Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State. The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection. The James Cancer Diagnostic Center is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis to those who suspect they have cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/diagnosticcenter.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Whether it's an office potluck or dinner and drinks at a nice restaurant or event space, it's the season for the workplace holiday party. Despite the best intentions, these celebratory occasions can turn into an HR nightmare. People have lost their jobs when their behavior at a workplace holiday party gets a little out of hand. Today, we're talking about the red and green flags you should be aware of before you attend your next workplace holiday party. Joining us now is Jessica Miller Merrill, HR consultant and talent acquisition practitioner. She's also the founder of the Workology website. Welcome to All Sides, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, based on your career experience, what concerns do human resource departments have when it comes to holiday parties?
All the concerns, really. This time of year is our least favorite because it results in a variety of situations, scenarios, investigations that can end people's employment during what's supposed to be a fun and festive time.
And when you talk about things getting out of hand at a holiday party, is it because we're in an age of social media, Instagram, TikTok, like there's people taking videos, they have evidence of things happening?
There's some of that, but problems around holiday parties have been happening long before social media existed. And that is just anytime there's alcohol or people letting loose, things happen.
So what are the most common offenses reported at a holiday party? Is it normally alcohol related?
Some of it's alcohol related. I just feel like people feel like it is not a work event. It is a fun social event, even though it is a work sponsored and organized event. And so sexual harassment is probably the most common. It could be as a result of alcohol or drugs. But normally inappropriate touching or messages, either during or after the holiday party, because boundaries between work and personal start to get blurred.
So that doesn't happen on a random Tuesday if you go to a happy hour with coworkers. The holiday party is a different atmosphere.
Normally, a random Tuesday happy hour is going to be with a trusted group of people, maybe, that you work with every day or you have a past relationship. You are dealing with holiday parties where people are flying in, family members, friends, like other parties are present that maybe aren't part of the company culture and ecosystem. And so that's where things, I think, tend to go sideways a little bit more often.
Have you seen incidents at parties that result in company investigations, people being fired?
Yes, every holiday party, every really workplace event that involves a social component, I would say about half of them result in some sort of conversation or termination around behaviors.
Does this happen at both? I just wonder if you work for like a state agency or a government agency versus working for like a private organization, is it more common at private organizations? I would think that state employees have more rules that they're used to, I guess, something like that. Or maybe there's more rules to follow. So I don't know. Yeah.
I haven't worked in and consulted with a lot of those agencies, so I can't say for sure. But in my experience, anytime alcohol or after hours happens, even if it's just a office happy hour, or maybe, like you said, a potluck, or maybe we're all going to a baseball game together as a team, 50% of them will result in some sort of like investigation or a conversation that I would have to have with a team member or with a manager as a result of unwanted sexual advances, inappropriate behaviors, comments, things of that nature.
You would want to say that people should know better, but to avoid problems, should companies make it a standard to send out a code of conduct email or something like that before a party?
I think a nice, gentle reminder is good. I would encourage companies to have a policy in place that they're talking about ongoing employee orientation, new hires, things like that. And then maybe if they're having like annual sexual harassment training at their organization, like just including that as a reminder. But I definitely think a nice, gentle message, it's like, hey, as a reminder, here is a policy code of conduct. It's just hard because it's coming from HR and we tend to be the police in these situations. And that's really my least favorite thing to do.
Should companies or have more companies switch to more of an office potluck rather than a big event to minimize risk?
I think they're not thinking about the risk, but they're thinking about costs right now with the state of the economy. So we might have scaled down the holiday party a little bit more, or maybe it's during office hours to ensure that we're not spending wildly when maybe we've laid some team members off. So I don't think managers, leaders are always thinking about like those kind of inappropriate like behaviors that come as a result of an offsite event. But it's more related to expenses than actions. I think a lot of times in HR, investigations, activities, things that happen as a result of the holiday party aren't shared publicly, right? We don't comment of those things. So it isn't widely discussed. Just executive leaders might know things are occurring and the why, but employees aren't really communicated beyond that.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the red and green flags of the workplace holiday party with Jessica Miller Merrill, HR consultant and talent acquisition practitioner. She's also the founder of the Workology website. So we're going to go through some of your company holiday party tips. First of all, we'll start with the two drink rule. And it sounds that's, you know, what's the meaning behind that? It sounds like it's easy to follow, but just as easy to break. Tell me about the two drink rule.
The two drink rule is just for you to be social and participate maybe in the social activity that is the workplace holiday party without drinking so much alcohol that you lead to maybe bad decisions, right? Inappropriate touching, comments, like things are a little bit more relaxed. So we want you to, I want you to make good decisions and I want you to have a fun time. That might not involve alcohol at all, but I feel like a two drink maximum at a holiday party is just a good work decision for your career.
So that would be, you say, follow the two drink rule and mean it for the person, but can a company give everyone two tickets and try to like say there's only two drinks each?
Yeah, but you can bring a flask into the event, or maybe you pregame before you go to the holiday party, or people tend to take the event after the holiday party and they might be doing shots at the bar down the street. It's still within kind of that window of work-related activities, and that's when chaos happens, bad things.
All right. So another suggestion that you have is you suggest bringing a wingman or a wingwoman. Why is that?
To keep you on good behavior from making bad decisions. And that's just somebody, it can be a friend, a trusted colleague, somebody who can be like, hey, it's time to go, or they can notice that things are getting out of hand. This event is absolutely a cultural event. It's an opportunity in the workplace too for you to gain karma points or a build rapport with managers, leaders as an opportunity for maybe you to grow or move into other positions. So strategically, having somebody professional that's going to look out for you and present in a certain way to give you an advantage for the 2026 year, I think is a smart move.
I'm assuming your next rule of keeping it professional, eyes up, hands off, is meant for those office romances that could possibly play out at a workplace party.
Or just having a Santa that happens to be the manager that thinks it's okay to encourage women to sit on their lap and touch. That's happened in several companies that I've worked at where I've had to do investigations and had conversations with, in some cases, somebody who I directly reported to and said, hey, this is inappropriate. It can't happen again. Or terminating somebody for those kind of comments or touches. So, yeah. Hands off, eyes up is a best practice for sure.
These rules that we're laying out, you know, we did the two drink rule, bring a wingman or a wingwoman, keep it professional, eyes up, hands off. You're talking to each individual person. Like this is, I mean, you're all basically you're all adults, so act like it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and every employee, not just regular team members, but executive leaders too. Sometimes the lines get blurred, and after you've had, a couple drinks, four or five, or too many, that bad things, inappropriate things, just tend to happen. They don't mean to happen, but they do.
Another rule that you have is you also stress that a dress code for evening events. So what rules should people follow there when you talk about a dress code?
You don't need to look like you're going to a club, right? And there's a time and a place for those things. I would just encourage you, when we think of the long term of your career, is you want to be painted in a certain way, in a certain light. So I might suggest, as an HR person, cover up. Doesn't need to be skin tight. Just it can be a little bit fun and flirty, but not to the point where you're look like you're going out for a late night at for 2 a.m. or something.
Have you had to deal in your HR professional career? Have you had to deal with, the increasing amount of social media, people maybe taking pictures of their colleagues and posting them on Instagram, doing TikToks at events where people didn't want their picture to be posted and that kind of thing? Have you had to deal with that?
Absolutely. Sometimes it's even goes beyond that, where we're not posting on social media, but we're taking pictures of people, like underneath skirts type of situation. Somebody's caught, and then I have to conduct the investigation and then have a talk with a manager leader and make a tough call where they're going to lose their job during, which is supposed to be a fun time of year, but also a time where people are investing more money in gifts and other celebrations.
The final rule that you had in this article, you recommend leaving early. Why do you suggest that?
Because things tend to happen, or through influence, you might want to go to the after party. I think a nice quiet Irish exit is can be effective before things really start to warm up, because you don't want to be associated with, maybe it wasn't you that was involved in shots of tequila, but because you're at an event and these things happen, then as an HR person, I have to conduct all the interviews with all the people who were there. You might not have participated, but now you're the point of conversation. You're being talked about with a group of people, maybe, or as a result of investigation. So I feel like right now, with the way the economy is, it's best to make solid career decisions so you don't give leadership a reason for you to end up on the short list. Normally during the Christmas holiday time, we don't do a lot of terminations. So pretty much between Thanksgiving and, I would say, like January 8th, things are good. There's not a lot of terminations because we don't want to spoil people's holiday celebrations. January, in my experience, is the highest level of turnover and involuntary terminations, which is getting fired, that happen because there's this November, December timeframe where we're not doing as many cuts, terminations, those sort of things.
What about can HR what if you don't want to go to your holiday party? Do you have to go? Can HR
I don't think you have to go. I mean, there's a lot of people that these things bring a lot of anxiety or stress or just uncomfortableness. So if you feel like it's not for you, I would have a conversation with your manager, document that, and let them know that maybe you have anxiety around that, or you're just not comfortable. It's not a requirement to go to the party. I think it could be a good move for you strategically to kind of hobnob and network with different teams, especially if you're looking to maybe transfer, grow, move into a different role, build those relationships. But it's not something that is a have to attend. I've never made or had any organization that I worked with or supported where it was a requirement to keep your job.
You mentioned this a little while ago, but how does an employer balance wanting to reward their staff and have a fun party while also not having things get out of hand? Like, how do we find that balance?
I think letting people know the expectations, and maybe reminding them with a code of conduct or just a gentle message. I definitely think moving alcohol behind a bar and maybe limiting with drink tickets is a good best practice. What's most important in my mind is have it like a run of show or of an organization of how things should happen so that you have a clear, kind of networking. Maybe there's a group dinner with some celebrations, recognition, and let people know when it's time to leave so they know what the rules are and what to expect. I want to make sure also that I'm not liable as an employer that if somebody that somebody does not have too much to drink and then gets in the car and drives. So I think that's another consideration for you. Maybe you're providing like Uber vouchers or things like that to make it easy for people to get home so that they can be safe and everybody in the city and the surrounding area that you're hosting the celebration also feels safe.
And you think having a clear end probably helps too. So maybe if the big boss gives out an award and makes a speech and then actually says, okay, this is over now.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Congratulations to our winners. Happy holidays. We'll see you on Monday.
Will you be attending any workplace holiday parties? Do you as a consultant, do you get invited to them?
So I didn't have any holiday parties this year, but I'm in downtown Austin this weekend with friends. And so everybody here in town was at a holiday party. And so from the condo, we could see one happening. And there were a number of people in the elevator that we're heading to those. So I really don't like going to them in general, just because it leads to so many bad decisions and unfortunately hard conversations that I have to deliver as an HR leader.
Okay, so you'd rather you I was wondering if you're like a fly on the wall standing in the back taking notes, or if you'd rather just not be there at all.
I would rather not be there at all. I don't like being the police. It's the least my least favorite part of my job, but I did enjoy a glass of wine watching others celebrate across the street their holiday party and was thinking, I wonder if it all ended okay, and then what type of phone calls, emails, and different conversations that are happening today through the end of this week as a result of these hard holiday parties that are happening.
We're going to spend the rest of the hour after you leave us talking about how the workplace holiday party is basically what it secretly says about a company's culture. But I wanted to get your thoughts before we end here. What do you think the holiday party says about culture?
I think it's a necessary part of building relationships and being part of a team. It's essential. I feel like it complicates things when we have remote workers, and I think that's one of the biggest challenges right now with so many people who are working in other cities and other areas. If a company does the right thing and flies people in, it can be a huge expense, which can be looked upon negatively. So I think it's such a balance that we have to be able to offer shareholders, investors, employees to understand like this is an extravagant expense, but is an opportunity to chat and get to know people and family members in a way that maybe gels the team a little bit more and connects us.
We've been speaking with Jessica Miller Merrill, HR consultant and talent acquisition practitioner, and she's also the founder of the Workology website. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jessica.
Thank you, Amy.
And coming up, we are going to talk about what the holiday party secretly says about company culture. That is When All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. We're talking about the red and green flags of the workplace holiday party this hour. While these parties are meant to share the spirit of the season and be occasions for celebration, not everyone may be feeling good toward their coworkers. In fact, our next guest says these events can reveal the truth about a company culture. Joining us now is Greg Hawks, a workplace culture strategist. Welcome to All Sides, Greg.
So great to be here, Amy. Jessica had so many great thoughts and insights.
Yes. And now we're going to pivot to you. You say that holiday parties can serve as an X-ray into the company. So what do they reveal?
Well, it can show a few things. First, obviously, the interest others have in being together socially. You know, Gallup has done surveys and polls years and years and years. And if you have a good friend at your company, you are more likely loyal, committed, and invested. And so the holiday party gives you this engagement exposure to the people that are working together day in and day out, but in a social setting.
And can they also reveal a few things about the company's bottom line? Like if you walk into the party, the type of food is an indicator of how we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, if there's Ritz crackers and squeeze cheese, you know, it could be an indicator like, hey, we cut back. Or honestly, as Jessica made a good point, the challenge is always, does it look like we're being too extravagant, or does it look like we're doing less than we could? And so it's a constant battle. But that idea of the holiday party is meant to celebrate our people, mm-hmm. and where we have it, what food we have, do we have a DJ? Are we creating an environment that says thank you? Or are we just using the break room and putting up some snacks and saying, you know, take 30 minutes, 45 minutes after work, swing by, and that's it? It does indicate where the value is placed.
So many companies have replaced their holiday parties at restaurants or fancy event spaces with maybe more of an office potluck feel. What do you think that says about a company?
Well, you know, as an optimist, I would say, oh, that's nice. They want everybody to contribute and feel like, oh, we're a family. People love having that terminology about their company. You know, on the flip side, it's also like, boy, that's a cheap way. And who wants to, after work, put together food for people I work with? I've never met anybody that was like, I wish I could cook for my colleagues.
What about the idea of having the party during work hours so you allow people to miss work to have some fun?
I actually love that, because a lot of the pushback in the after hours party is, you know, am I being paid to be here? What about my children? I've got actual family, not work family, but literal family that I need to be taken care of in the holiday season. So a work party during work actually has a lot of good indicators that we recognize this place isn't the entirety of your life. Even though we'd like to consume your life a lot, we realize, especially in the holiday season, you have a lot of other demands being placed on you, and let's put it inside so you literally are being paid to be at the party and we're not taking away from your actual family who is requiring so much in this time, you know, of life and season of the holidays.
Yeah, I can see both sides of that, though, because if you have an after work party at a fancy restaurant and you allow people to invite their spouse, it can seem very special, and also, but also, like, then you have to get childcare. I can see, yeah, there's two sides there.
There really is two sides, and you know, in any culture, there's a sense of who we value, what we value, why we value. People recognize it, and so, listen, I've been to parties where they had it at nice restaurants, and people felt cherished by it, like, wow, they're giving us a nice meal. Like, it's a steakhouse we don't normally go to. And so they're creating this special event, which feels very thoughtful, really intentional. And so it's like, hey, I'm getting a date night. I'm happy to pay for childcare because I'm getting a great meal out of it. I'm with people I like. And again, that's what reflects the company. Obviously, big corporations are having a difficult time doing something like that. But the smallness of a department or leadership teams bringing together their areas of responsibility, that can really indicate a lot of care and consideration for it. I mean, if it's, hey, we're coming to the office after hours and we're turning, you know, our place into a party zone, that feels a lot less. I feel valued, I feel loved and cared for, and I want to get childcare than some place that's nice that creates an experience. Any place that a company says, we've thought about you, we care about you, we want to create something special for you. I mean, people are looking for memorable moments in life. And if a workplace creates that, all the more an indicator that as a company, they think that way throughout the year.
We just spoke with an HR consultant, as you mentioned, about workplace party red flags. We got her perspective on, worries about a holiday party, things getting out of hand, becoming an HR issue. As a workplace consultant, do you have any red flags that you think of?
I would definitely concur with Jessica's two-ticket limit. Alcohol has a tendency to loosen people up in typically not always the best ways. And so that's why the people aren't drinking on the job, during the job, because it's not enhancing what we want to see provided. And so, the red flags to me as a culture observer and specialist and strategist is, how are people gathering? When you come to these parties, how are people gathering? Is leadership hold off on a special table and they're treating themselves separately? Are they mingling and engaged? Do departments silo off, even at the Christmas party, right? That's an indicator. Like, man, if we can't cross-pollinate at a social gathering that is meant to celebrate our people, then during the workday, how much more are we isolating and siloing and keeping away from people or departments? And so I think for me, the red flag is there indicators here of how we work together that has just magnified now because it's a social setting, not a professional setting per se.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about what holiday parties say about a company culture with workplace cultural strategist Greg Hawks. So you had a list available of some of your red flags. So the one you just mentioned, departments isolate themselves, problem with silos. But another one you have is that leadership ghosts the room early. Tell me about that. They leave?
Well, they leave, and they do it in a way that is almost like, I made an appearance. You know this, Amy. When people show up, don't engage, and then just disappear, it says, I don't actually want to be with you people. I just have to do my checklist as a boss, right? That's not a leader. That's a boss who perceives themselves to be above, better than, or honestly just doesn't hold regard for the teams and the departments and the players at all levels in the org chart in a way that honors them. Because the Christmas party really is the chance for leaders to honor the people who are working diligently and hard throughout the year. And so if they just show up, even honestly do like they're a political round, shake hands, and then leave the building, everybody's got full schedules. Everybody's got full lives. And so for them to not be the last people there is really an unfortunate indicator of the perspective they hold on the workforce that they've been entrusted to lead, again, with heart and with vision and with hope and, with the intentionality of how are we not just maximizing your skills here, but how are we creating a place that you are also fulfilled in the use of those skills? And that's the leader's job. And so to not take advantage of building personal relationships in that setting, not take advantage of offering individual gratitude towards what people have done this year, not meeting significant others and just say, I recognize you beyond the function you play. It's a huge miss when leaders come in, check the box, exit. So on that point, I would say, yeah, it's a really unfortunate if leaders perceive that. They do themselves a disservice. And honestly, sometimes leaders are just not thoughtful about, I'm trying to act like I care, but actually what I'm showing is I don't care by these very actions that I hope will say, hey, I showed up, I made an appearance, and then I had to go because, I'm really important and I'm really busy and I've got really important things to do beyond just spending time with you folks.
Another red flag that you list are the over-functioners who show up to the party, but they're stressed and exhausted, and they talk about how much work they have to do. What's the problem there?
Well, the problem there, Amy, is that there's this idea that when they show up and they want to keep talking about work at this place, listen, everybody's got a lot going on. Everybody has a sense of more responsibility than capacity, more. And so when they don't recognize we've created this place here for you just to be human. I mean, we have so much conversation in the workplace now about being human and what AI brings to and challenges. And it's like the Christmas party is all human. There is no robots invited. It is designed for you just to go ahead and share about your life and to be there to listen to other people's lives and to be there to connect with some compassion and empathy and interest. And when people come and they just want to vomit, here's more workload I've got. Everybody there is aware of work that has to be done. And even like you said, Amy, if they do it during the workday on those occasions where people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're taken away. I've got so much to do. It misses entirely the point that this is meant to be our personal, social, valuing of one another gathering that just recognizes each other as people and to step back from the function. And some people, as you know, I'm sure, Amy, have a difficult time separating their identity from their work. And so even when they show up in these personal settings, if you will, even though it's a professional environment, the intent is we're not here to work. We're not responding to email. We're not even having work conversations here. Like that is the red flag is, you know, we're not creating a space where people really understand or maybe recognize we don't want you working at this party. Like we didn't design this whole thing for you to keep working and for you to only have the capacity to do that. You're really missing out on the greater good of what we're trying to achieve here.
So would you recommend that leadership, I don't know, send an email and say, like, please come to the party, like, you know, like put the work aside. We want you there.
Absolutely. And the invite, even as like Jessica said, because I do love like, you know, communication is always a benefit. Hey, we've got two tickets. Hey, here's when it starts. Here's when it ends. Listen, this is for us to celebrate what we've accomplished. This is not work. We want you to meet people. We want you to mingle with your friends. We want you to have a great time. Refrain from work conversations. And some people, they just need that little nudge because some people think, oh, I'm seeing this person. I haven't got to see him all week long. And so if I could just have a 2 minute, it feels almost responsible for people that are like, I'm just trying to, you know, make the most. I'm a maximizer. I like making the most of my time. But that idea of just giving a little bit of an undercurrent that says, no work conversations allowed. Don't seize the conversation about what's upcoming or what you need. And they can do that in a very playful way, right? Again, depending on the culture and the nature of the relationship they have with the employee base, you can say things that are very brief, but really carry the message like, listen, this is for you. This is not for work. This is for us and what we've accomplished, not what we're trying to accomplish. Let's just take an hour or two and enjoy each other. We work with really smart, great people. Let's enjoy them as people, not as work colleagues for the moment.
You also write that there's a red flag if there's a surprising number of no-shows. It's often the clearest sign that there's either burnout, resentment, or disengagement. So
Right.
we should we worry as a company if people don't show up at the holiday party?
It's, you know, and I've had conversations about this because it goes back to the, hey, I've got family, I've got kids, I've got life outside of here. Please don't interpret me being a responsible parent for a disengaged employee. However, when it comes, you know, you can look at a grand scale, but when people have relationships with their managers, their bosses, their line of authority, and they don't communicate, hey, listen, couldn't get, hey, my mom is sick right now. We're not able to make it. Hey, we've got my kids have a play. We're going to go watch them perform. If there's not a communication, because in a healthy culture, not showing up to a Christmas party is no big deal when somebody just communicates it. Says, hey, listen, love to be there. Have these other family obligations. Have things that are honestly more important than spending 2 more hours with these people I spend all work with. So all week, you know, at work with. So that's why I'm opting out. If it's a no-show with no communication, that certainly is an indicator that, first of all, I'm not even sure I feel safe telling my upline, because I don't want the response to be, well, you have to be there, or if you don't show up, that's going to infer, like, they just want to avoid it altogether, right? So I can't share this with people who are in my upline because I am afraid of the response it'll create. And so I just avoid it altogether. Or I just don't care. I just don't care about this place. I don't care about these people. I don't need to spend any more time with them. And so, and that, you know, that's a, it's all a communication. It's the appearance or unappearance of people at the party. The indicator is, did they communicate beforehand? If they're a no-show with no communication, there could be some element. Obviously, there's a few people that have last minute, urgent, unexpected. But if there's a large group of people or a majority of those that didn't show and didn't communicate, you know, it's not a reason to go digging into them. It's a check for the leadership and the team leaders to go, why are we not shaping a space where people trust us enough to indicate what's happening in their life that they wouldn't want to come just be with the people and have a personal social gathering with us? Because again, there's enough research that says if you like the people you work with, there is a natural engagement because you care. If you don't like the people you work with and you don't want to be around them and they don't show up, then that could be one of your responses. I'm just not going and I'm not telling anybody I'm not going to be there. And then I'll make up excuses on Monday when they ask.
We are going to continue our conversation about what holiday parties say about company culture. We just talked about a bunch of red flags. We'll talk about some green flags, some good things after the break. Workplace cultural strategist Greg Hawks is staying with us. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. The holidays can be a time of celebration as the year comes to an end, and on its surface, the workplace holiday party is meant to be a joyous occasion. However, just below the surface, it can reveal a lot about a company's workplace culture. We're talking about holiday parties and what they say about company culture, and still with us is workplace cultural strategist Greg Hawks. Thanks again
Amy,
for being
I'm
here.
Amy, I'm loving being with you.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you so much for having me here.
You have had more coffee than me today. My goodness. So we talked about a bunch of red flags. Let's talk about green flags. What do you consider to be green flags of a workplace holiday party? Let's talk about good things. What can the holiday party be good for?
Is there any benefit to this thing at all?
Yeah.
Listen, a few great green flags that employees prior to the party are encouraging other employees to come. Like, that's the number one green flag you'll ever find, is that other people that have been there, whether they've been there a year, 5 years, 10 years, they say, listen, we have such a great time. You need to come. You need to be there. So that's by far the number one indicator of a positive culture, of people who really like each other. And when new people come on, because there is hesitation, you know, there is a little bit of anxiety and apprehension, because the truth is, because it is human first, because it is social, not professional, sometimes people feel really good about their professional presence, but then showing up and just like letting their hair down, if you will, it's a very different scenario. And so people show, so green flags are the employees inviting other employees. And when people are nervous about it, being able to articulate it, right? The indicator of healthy culture is that we can talk about stuff. We have thick enough trust that we can share fears and a little bit of concerns, and then still with courage, kind of walk through them. So that's true at work. That's true at the party. And so people being willing to show up and go, all right, I'm just gonna be me and I don't have to put on a professional air is a really great sign. Again, not over the top. Jessica talked with alcohol and, you know, saying inappropriate things and inappropriate touch. You know, there's also a lot of appropriate positives that happen where people like get to know people a little bit better, have fun. I mean, I've been at company parties where they did like a carnival, like they're themed out and they've got little games and people are playing together all appropriately, all enjoyably, and it creates, you know, a tradition, whether a family or a business. Traditions create a heritage of who we are. And so Christmas parties have the potential to be these annual gatherings that says these are the kinds of people we are, these are the kinds of people we attract, these are the kinds of people who love working here, and it creates a tradition that is kind of what family uses to say this is what our family does, this is what our company does, and it creates a collective belonging. And there is a constant desire for belonging in a workplace that is inviting for all different kinds of people.
I will tell you one of the best games we ever played at one of my workplace parties here at WOSU. I've been at WOSU for 18 years, so I've been to a lot of
Woo,
parties here. Yeah, I
woo,
know. But my favorite game we've ever played is everyone who wanted to participate submitted their baby picture. It could be any picture, and you had to go and guess who was who. And
Yeah.
that was so much fun.
That is fun. And Amy, that's a great example because it's so human, right? The idea of like all of us were children, all of us were little bit, and to be able to go, oh my gosh, that's what you, any of those family, because there's some that also do like, you know, your best Christmas picture. So kids opening, us adults, we're opening up a bicycle, or even just the age of the photo that just like indicates I've been around a while, and it creates a connectivity, especially childhood things like that create this commonality that we all have in common. And that's what great cultures do, is they find ways to celebrate our alikeness, because the things that when we have a sense of similarity, we have a greater depth of trust with one another. When all we do is focus on differences and how we're different, differences create distance, which makes it harder to trust. And so even in a Christmas party or a social setting like that, what we're trying to do is go, we have similarities. Let's find things we like, Christmas cookies, or you talk about your favorite dessert. Or, you know, when people, that's another green flag, if we're looking for green flags, it's like, hey, we got the meal, but why don't you bring in a special family dessert to share? You know, and then it's like, then it's not a burden of I've got, and some people, you know, are burdened by it, but I grew up in Ohio, so I grew up with Buckeyes. My mom makes the best Buckeyes ever. And so when I moved to Oklahoma and now I live in Minnesota, you know, that is not the same. And Oklahoma didn't even know what a Buckeye was. And so for years, I would take homemade Buckeyes to these Christmas parties. And they're like, what is this glorious wonder of chocolate and peanut butter? Like, well, that's the beauty of being born and raised in Ohio.
See, you just reminded me, we had talked about doing, we at WOSU have a soup and chili cook-off every year that's very popular. We do it in February. But we had talked about doing a Christmas cookie cook-off where we can compete with cookies at this year's holiday party. And I forgot about that. So now I have to write it down so I remember for next year.
You totally forgot.
I
You mean it
forgot.
happened, you just didn't participate.
No, it didn't happen. It's not happening. I'm a part
Oh.
of, so here at WOSU, we have a party planning committee, as all good workplaces do. And well, that leads me to my next question. I'm just saying I'm on the party planning committee and I forgot about the cookie contest. So, but everyone else on the committee forgot too. So we'll deal with that next year. Let me ask you about that with workplace culture, about having employees plan the parties versus whether leadership plans the parties. What do you recommend?
Oh, I mean, you know, it's a very vast opportunity. I think, you know, when you say it like that, employees and leadership, you know, it just indicates there's this gap between the two. I think all great leadership says we want to empower, we want to invest in, we want to give opportunity for responsibility, not because we want to burden you, but because we want to expand you. And, you know, planning parties, you know, I mean, being on a part any committee for that matter, but a party committee, if you will, you know, it's hopefully a responsibility. People say, hey, I want to share, I want to create something for the rest of our employees, you know, and so I like the idea of it if it's done in a way that a leadership is part of it. Because Of course, you know, people can get jaded and they're cynical and they're like, oh yeah, they just want us to do all the work and then we show up and we got to clean up and we got to do all the, you know, there should be a nice collaboration. So it isn't like leadership shows up and benefits and everybody else then just does the work behind the scenes. And it's like, oh yeah, it more that separation. It's the integration of leaders, employees at all levels saying, we want to create something really memorable and special for our people. I mean, the reason you would do the chili cook-off is because it's traditional, because it gives people an opportunity to get express themselves outside of a professional setting. It equalizes everybody. You could be here 1 year in whatever role you play. You could be the top boss and be here 20 years. But listen, the chili is going to be the chili is going to be the chili. And so it's a great equalizer. And so that, you know, that's what these parties do. The green flag is where leaders and everyone goes, let's create something where there is no hierarchy, right? A party is not hierarchical. There's not a boss and this and that. It's like we create a space where everyone gets to enjoy themselves, be in great relationship, and really feel valued. So I'm not opposed to it unless it feels like the idea of a planning party is, you know, an unwanted burden and people are being tasked with it instead of like, hey, we care about the people we work with and we want to create something really special. And I wanna, right? There are personalities that like, I wanna be a part of that because I wanna make sure it's done in a way that people are recognized, valued, and we create something really fun. Our leaders, they might not even know how to have fun, right? They might not even be people with fun personalities. So it's like, Lord, we don't want them being party planners. They'll just like, we'll just show up and again have the cheese whiz and the crackers and like, it'll be nothing fun.
Oh, no comment on that. All right.
I won't ask you specifically about your boss, Amy, for any fun or right?
This,
You're like, trust me, you want me planning this party. You don't want them planning
I'm gonna pivot right there. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about what holiday parties say about company culture with workplace cultural strategist Greg Hawks. Talk to me about the tough economic times. You know, the economy is crazy right now. Everything is so expensive. If you could sum up the current state of workplaces and workplace culture right now, like what would it be? Because it's hard to plan a nice party when you're downsizing or you're having tough economic times.
Right. And it has to start with communication, because you're not going to have extravagance and have just laid off 400 people. And people are like, oh, look, they got rid of all these people so we could have this fancy experience. And you also don't want to come into a season where it's like, hey, these are tough times, so we're just nixing it. You know, like we're not nixing because, oh, you guys are working so hard, we're diligent, and you know, it's uncertain, our present and our future. It is difficult on where things are going next. And so but Amy, you know, when you think about your own family, also you go, well, what do we want to do to at least offer a sense of security, even in uncertainty? We want to keep traditions alive. We want to do it in a way that says we recognize where we're at, because you can't have people who've just submitted their budgets or they put 2026 budgets together this past quarter and they were all trimmed. And so and now and so it takes wisdom and it takes a little bit of nuance and it takes a little bit of conversations. The best thing that people can do, Amy, in leadership roles is, and this is really what the upside of the planning party is you say, hey, listen, you know, we've made some adjustments. You know, we're not really sure about our forecast for the next quarter or the next year. Can we collectively discuss it? So it's not a leader making a decision, it's people at all parts of the organization. It's this planning party, if you will, 10 different people, 10 different departments, 6 different people from different levels of responsibility. And this is what they have concluded. And so then the party comes from people and says, this is what we felt like is appropriate. And all of us have budgets. So it's not like, you know, nobody's ever had unlimited budget. It's like, this is what we have to work with. Let's figure out the best way to honor our people with what we have to provide. And when you do that collaboratively, then people feel then there's no out on the leaders of doing something nice or doing something negative. It's like, this was a collective, creative thing that we brought together because we still want to honor your work of this year. I mean, this is life. Every year we have no idea really what the future holds. And in this tumultuous time, you can still count on a few things from us. We're going to come together, we're going to celebrate each other, and we're going to let you know how valuable you are. whether that's fancy, whether that's stripped down, whether that's our own do it yourself. We do a theme that is, you know, feels a little do it yourself, but let's let our planning party come to that conclusion and not one person making the decision. And that reflects a culture that says we value all voices. We're all in this still together of what we're trying to navigate financially. We're all aware of it because in our own personal lives, we're navigating our budgets for Christmas gifts and our own Christmas dinners and whether we're going to travel and how we're going to, you know, so there's all of those things that we do personally. And so having that translate in a professional setting is best done through colleagues, not top down.
Hmm. We have only like a little less than a minute left, but would you say that if a company is having tough times, it's still important to have some sort of party, just some
hugely,
sort of record?
Yeah. Hugely important. And listen, it's important for employees to go, mm-hmm. even if they're feeling a little stressed and don't know what, and if it's a healthy culture, a healthy place, it's important for people to lean in because it's amazing the conversations that happen that then streamline so much after that. Like we didn't talk about the positive of once you make a connection there and maybe somebody you've been emailing that's all year long and now you just spend a 10-minute conversation with a person, the dynamic changes after that. And so that idea of being able to change that dynamic and have that relationship is so significant. And so yes, absolutely have it. Yes, absolutely go.
All right. And I'm going to have you back to talk about these parties again because we didn't even really get to remote workers coming in for the party. So,
yeah, I'm sorry about that, Amy.
Listen, I'll come
to the chili cook-off in February. How's
all right,
that?
Sounds great. Our guest has been workplace culture strategist Greg Hawks. Greg, thank you so much for joining us today.
Totally my pleasure. Thank you.
And you've been listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. Thanks for joining us.